Let us commence our services today by singing together hymn number 1. The tune is Hanscom End 926. Great God, how infinite art thou, what worthless worms are we, let the whole race of creatures bow and pay their praise to thee. Hymn number 1. Let us read together from the Holy Word of God in the prophecy of Isaiah and chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counsellor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman mounteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that will not be moved, that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, And behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. May the Lord bless that portion of his precious word and grant unto us a spirit of real prayer. Almighty, most merciful and eternal God of heaven, the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, we do desire, O Lord, to bow in humble worship before thy great majesty. Thy word instructs us that thou art in heaven and we upon earth, that therefore let thy words be few, for in the multitude of words there wanteth not iniquity. And O Lord God, we are conscious that we are sinful worms of the earth. We are unclean and unrighteous altogether. And O most gracious Lord, we do desire a spirit of real confession of our sins, of our wanderings. And not, Lord, just a spirit of confession, but a spirit of repentance and godly sorrow for our sin. Oh, do come even this day and pour forth thy spirit upon us. Grant us a glimpse of yon lovely man. Grant us a glimpse of that scene of matchless grace. 'Tis Jesus in the sinner's place. Grant us a sacred view by faith of our crucified Redeemer, Jesus crucified for me. For Lord, we need that precious sin atoning blood, and we read in thy word that the Lord Jesus Christ is exalted for to give repentance and remission of sins. And we pray that we may receive those even this day, real repentance and forgiveness of all our sins, that we may be reconciled unto thee, that we may feel thy reconciling grace. We mourn, O Lord, because of the corruption and sin of our heart. We mourn, most gracious Lord, because of that natural inclination of our carnal mind. And as one says, the carnal mind is enmity to God, is not subject unto the law of God. Neither indeed can be. Oh, we do pray, most gracious Lord, that thou would come and subdue our carnal minds today, and grant that we may be in the Spirit, like thy servant John, who could say, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Oh, that we this day may be in the Spirit, that we may touch the hem of Jesus' garment, that we may feel the virtue of his precious blood washing away all our sins, that we may feel the virtue of his glorious righteousness clothing us, covering our nakedness. Great God, we read in thy word that the king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. Oh, we do pray, most gracious Lord, that thou wouldst grant us these rich gospel blessings as we come together around thy word. But we pray for any that are in darkness, that they may be brought into light. Any that are in bondage may be brought into liberty. Any that are far off may be made nigh by the precious blood of Christ. Holy, divine and blessed Spirit of truth, we pray for thy heavenly power. We pray for thy divine unction. We pray for thy help in this service, that we may be granted that holy anointing of the Spirit, and that the words spoken may be in power, in the Holy Ghost, and with much assurance in our hearts, even this day. We are not worthy, O Lord, of the least of thy tender mercies. And we do pray that thou wouldst hear us for Jesus Christ's sake. We cannot come, O Lord, in our own name, for all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We are all as an unclean thing. We are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And as we come before thee, O Lord God, that we would confess these things. We pray, most gracious Lord, that thou wouldst bless our beloved brethren, the deacons. Give them grace, wisdom and help in all the responsibilities that devolve upon them both here and elsewhere among the churches of God. Grant thy rich blessing upon each one of our brethren and sisters in Christ. Continue that spirit of love, union and communion among us. We do humbly beseech thee. Defend us and deliver us from the work and power of Satan, that old serpent, the devil, who goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He goeth about as an angel of light, seeking whom he can deceive. We pray to be delivered from the power of Satan. We pray, most gracious Lord, that thou wouldst fulfill that precious word, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. We pray to feel the sacred divine drawings of a heavenly Father, even this day, and the divine leadings of the Holy Spirit, and the sweet presence of Jesus Christ. We pray, dear Lord, that thou in thy great mercy wouldst bless the whole of our congregation. Bless them richly with those rich blessings that are in Christ Jesus. And we pray for the little ones and the children as they come into the sanctuary, that thy blessing may rest upon them, and that thou wouldst draw them unto thyself and put thy holy fear in their heart. We pray for the young friends as they go forth in life's journey, that thou wouldst graciously bring them to living, vital, saving faith in Jesus Christ, that they may become true followers of thee and of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Lord, do bless them. Bless them in all their pathways, and graciously make known thy will and thy purpose unto them. And gracious God, we pray for the prodigals. There are those that have wandered away, that have no desire to gather in the sanctuary. O thou great God, stretch out thy almighty arm. We do humbly beseech thee and cause them to be in one and to return unto the sanctuary. Bring them, O Lord, as poor penitent sinners unto Zion for thy great name's sake. Lord, there is nothing too hard for thee, and there are none beyond thy almighty arm of grace. Oh, do graciously hear us in this matter. We do humbly beseech of thee. We pray, dear Lord, that thou in thy great mercy wouldst remember those in the midst of the journey of life, and graciously help, support, sustain, strengthen, and bring us continually to thy feet, humbled under thy mighty hand. Give us a closer walk with thee. Oh, a calmer heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. Oh, we would that we could have a closer walk with thee. That we pray, most gracious Lord, that thou in thy great mercy would be with those in the evening time of life's journey. We ask that thou wouldst put the arms of thine everlasting love around them and grant them thy divine support and blessing and help. We pray, dear Lord, that thou in thy great mercy wouldst remember this village and the surrounding villages and hamlets, and grant that we may see an ingathering, that we may see precious souls gathered into the sanctuary, that we may see the strongholds of Satan pulled down, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus set up in the hearts of sinners, that we may see thy blessing upon the word of the Lord that is continually distributed among them. O Lord, do hear us, we beseech thee, and have mercy upon thy Zion, and return to Jerusalem with mercies for thy great name's sake. We live in a day of great declension, when we see the houses of prayer closing. Great God, grant a building up. Turn our captivity as the streams in the south. Send out thy light and thy truth. Fulfill thy precious promises. I will bring thy sons from far and thy daughters from the ends of the earth, and they shall come from the north and from the south and from the east and from the west. Come, Lord, and make the place of thy feet glorious. Wilt thou not revive us again, O Lord? O Lord, we beseech thee not for our name's sake, but for thy great name's sake, that thou wouldst remember us for good. We pray, dear Lord, thy blessing upon all thy servants as they labour in word and doctrine upon the walls of Zion this day, that they may dip their foot in oil, that they may be made acceptable unto the brethren, and that the word preached may be in power in the Holy Ghost and with much assurance. And we pray thee, the great Lord of the harvest, that thou wouldst send true labourers into the harvest. O Lord of hosts, O God of Israel, shine forth, we do humbly beseech thee, and arise for our help, we do pray thee. We live in dark and solemn days, wickedness abounds on every hand. Lord, we pray for our leaders, that they may be given wisdom and understanding and guidance and direction, and that they may be righteous rulers and do that which is right in thy sight, for thy great name's sake. We're not deserving, Lord. We think of the terrible sins that run down our streets and how thy word is counted as a thing of naught. Oh, do arise in our nation. Have mercy upon our nation. Raise up preachers more with voice to raise the dead. We do humbly beseech thee. And that we pray, dear Lord, that thou wouldst bless our beloved queen and consort and the royal household. Thou knowest all the things there, and we earnestly beseech thee to have mercy upon them and to bless them with that rich grace that is in Christ Jesus. Remember thy servants that labour in word and doctrine among the nations of the earth. We think of our friends, O Lord, in the Mombasa mission. Pray that thou wouldst help thy servants there and bless them together and grant real, true spiritual prosperity. And we pray for those, we think of Ian Sadler as he labours in India and Burma and Africa, and we pray that thou wouldst grant him good success unto those labours. Lord, we do desire to thank thee for all thy tender mercies, thy loving kindnesses that have passed before us in the way. Thy mercies, O Lord, are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness in spite of all our wanderings and all our backslidings. Yet thou remainest the same. We thank thee for Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank thee for the holy life he lived as a man here upon earth. We thank thee for the sacred sacrifice of Calvary, where sin has been put away. Everlasting righteousness has been brought in. Death has been swallowed up in victory. The Saviour has ascended into heaven. He sitteth at thy right hand. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And as we come into the sanctuary, Lord, we would raise a song of praise, of thanksgiving unto thy glorious majesty for all thy precious mercy and thy favour. Lord, make up in giving where we do so fail in asking. Come and touch one's lips with a live coal from off the heavenly altar. We ask all for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Let us now sing together hymn number 327. The tune is Contemplation 117. Whence do our mournful thoughts arise? And where's our courage fled? Has restless sin and raging hell struck all our comforts dead? Hymn 327. greatly feel into need, the Lord's gracious help, I direct your attention to the chapter that we read, the 40th chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah, and we will read verse 28 for our text. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. This is the Lord's answer to Jacob. In the previous verse, he says, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? It was as if Jacob was saying that the Lord didn't know, the Lord couldn't see, the Lord didn't understand. And, you know, we can get into places like that. You read through the prophet Jeremiah, and he got into places like that. There was a time when he stopped preaching, when he stopped speaking the word of the Lord, because he had so much opposition, and it appeared that nobody heard what he was saying. And we can understand how he feels. But he said that the word of the Lord was in him like a burning fire, and he couldn't stop. It had to come out. See, we get into this place, my way is hid from the Lord. The Lord can't see me, can't see my pathway, can't see my circumstances, doesn't understand what I'm passing through. Hast thou not known? You know, what the Lord is saying here unto Jacob, unto Israel, is you've got some very low views of God. You've got some very low views of his being, of who he is and what he is and what he's able to do. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That is from their fathers, that is from the word of God. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, that is Jehovah, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. You know, there's a very similar word to this that is found in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 147. And it's a psalm of praise unto the Lord. And he speaks there of the great things that the Lord does. It says in verse 2, the Lord doth build up Jerusalem, he gathereth together the outcasts of Israel, he healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds, he telleth the number of the stars, he calleth them all by their names. That's exactly what we have here, and what we've read together here in this 40th chapter of Isaiah, that the Lord numbers all the stars, all the planets. He created them. He calleth them all by names. There's millions and millions of them, but he knows them all. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. You just think of that. His understanding is infinite. It's without measure. There's nothing that God does not understand. There's nothing that God does not see. The eternal God. I always feel, I think we read it just recently, the Psalm 139, and how beautifully there the sweet psalmist of Israel sets before us what the Lord had revealed to him. And that he is the eternal, the almighty God. That's why we commenced our service with that first hymn, Great God, how infinite art thou. Infinite in his very being. The word infinite, it means without bounds. We are finite. We have a finite understanding. We are finite beings. There is a time to be born and there is a time to die. Everything about us is measured. That makes us finite. But everything about God is infinite. His understanding is infinite. It's without measure. There's nothing that he doesn't see. There is nothing he doesn't understand. He is in all places. And this is what David says here in Psalm 139. He sees the omnipresence of God. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. What does he mean when he says there's not a word in my tongue? It means that the Lord sees it when it was in his thought, before it was actually spoken it. There's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Now, he says, this is something that is beyond our comprehension. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. I cannot grasp it. I cannot understand it. Why? Because our understanding is finite. God's understanding is infinite. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there. It's as much as to say, if I went to live on a little island right out in the middle of the Atlantic, even there. Shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. See, the sweet psalmist of Israel. You know, to the wicked, the attributes of God are a terror. The thought of an omnipresent Lord Jehovah to the wicked, sinful man is something that he wants to put right out of his mind. But to the righteous, to those who are reconciled through the precious blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ, reconciled unto God, these same attributes become so precious and glorious unto them that wherever they are, whatever they are doing, wherever their dwelling place, the Lord is there. He says here, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee. But the night shineth as the day, the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. God is a spirit, an infinite spirit, who dwells in all places at all times. We cannot escape the presence of Almighty God. We cannot. You know, it says in the book of Jonah that Jonah, he sought to flee from the Lord. Well, I'm absolutely sure of this. Jonah, being one of the servants of the Lord, one of the prophets of the Lord, he knew that he could never flee from the presence of the Lord. When he speaks to the mariners, he makes that quite clear, that he served the Lord God of heaven and of earth. So what does it mean when it says he fled from the presence of the Lord? It means this: he fled from the will of God. The Lord had made his will known unto Jonah. Go to Nineveh, that great city. Instead of that, he went the opposite direction. He was fleeing from the will of God concerning him. He fled from the face of the Lord. Hast thou not known Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Therefore, Jacob, Israel, why do you say, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? It cannot be. It cannot be. Your way can never be hid from the Lord. Your circumstances can never be hid from the Lord. Nothing is ever hidden from the Lord. There's that word, thou God, seest me. That's true. In every moment of our lives, the Lord, he sees, he knows, he understands. There's no searching of his understanding. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? You see, the old Puritans used to call the prophecy of Isaiah the gospel of Isaiah. The reason being that Christ is so beautifully revealed in the sacred pages of the prophecy of Isaiah. You look at the beginning of this chapter 40. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. There is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Her iniquity is pardoned. How? Through the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ. In actual fact, you know, friends, where it says, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins, the blood which cleanses from all sin, the righteousness of Christ, the blood of Christ, the righteousness of Christ, that clothes her nakedness. So she's washed pure from all sin and clothed in that glorious everlasting righteousness of Jesus Christ. She hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. It's the same truth in Psalm 45. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Why? Because she's washed in the blood of Christ. Her clothing is of wrought gold. Why? Because she's clothed in the everlasting righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her. It wasn't to be spoken in a timid way. Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And then it says in verse 4, and this is a prophecy of the coming of Christ, for every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. What is the glory of the Lord? It's Christ. It's the only begotten Son of the Father manifest in the flesh. And the Word, that term, the Word, refers to the Son of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we beheld his glory, the holy, sinless, perfect life of Jesus Christ, as he lived as a man here upon earth, and we beheld his glory. Have you ever seen the glory of Christ in that perfect obedience, that sinless life, as the word of God declares concerning him? He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He fulfilled, he honoured, he magnified the holy law of God that you have broken, that I have broken. We're all law breakers by nature. Christ is the law fulfiller. Isn't there a wonderful glory in that precious Redeemer, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. In that holy, sinless, perfect obedience of Jesus, the Son of God, as he lived here as a man on earth. One of the glorious names that is given to him is found in Jeremiah chapter 23. The Lord, our righteousness. If you look in the margin, it says, Jehovah Tsidkenu. That's our Lord Jesus Christ, our righteousness. He wrought out a righteousness for his people. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it. What does it mean, all flesh shall see it? Well, this gospel of the kingdom is to be preached among all nations. Every tongue, every tribe, every people. Because among all nations and tribes and people, the Lord has a people that he has chosen unto salvation and redemption. And this gospel is to be preached unto them. Go ye into all the world, preaching the gospel unto every creature. Oh, the Lord will enable us so to do, to preach the gospel unto every creature. You see, and it says here in verse 9, O Zion, Zion, of course, is the church of the living God. And it speaks of Jerusalem, which is again, in the spiritual sense, the church of the living God. And then it says the cities of Judah, and that's the little hills of Zion. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. What is it saying? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold your God. Behold him as a man here upon earth. Behold his holiness, his perfection, his fulfilling of the law. And in that fulfilling of the law, the Lord Jesus, he encapsulates it in one little way. He so beautifully condenses it. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and thy neighbour as thyself. That's the law. That's the holy, righteous law of God. And that is what Christ did. How many times do we read, not only that he lived this perfect, this holy life, but Jesus having compassion on the multitude. We read it again and again in the Gospels. His acts of love, kindness, compassion. He fulfilled the law in doing that. Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. And that's what Christ has done. He's fulfilled, he's honoured, he's magnified that holy law. Number one, in not breaking its holy commandments. Number two, in fulfilling its holy commandments. In doing those things, there are sins of omission and there are sins of commission. A sin of omission is when we do not do something that we know that we should do. And a sin of commission is to do something that we know to be wrong, to be sinful, to be against the holy, righteous law of God. You see, say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God, behold this precious Redeemer. And he says in verse 10, behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand. This is a prophecy of Christ. His arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently those that are with young. That's the glorious person of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. David, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He's the shepherd of the sheep. My sheep, they hear my voice and they follow me. And that's a vital point, my beloved friends, in our religion. Have you heard the voice of Jesus? You might say, well, I read of it in the Word and I hear it preached, but have you heard his voice in your heart, in power? The apostle says, for our gospel came unto you not in word only, but in power, in the Holy Ghost, and with much assurance. Has that gospel reached into your heart? Has it reached into my heart? Has it become a living word in your very soul, so that you're made a true believer and a true follower of our Lord Jesus Christ? There are many, my beloved friends, that think they follow the Lord. Where there is that true work of the Spirit, there'll be something that you can say from your own experience, not your parents, not the church that you belong to, but something personal between your soul and God. You know, friends, that is absolutely vital. Something personal between your soul and God. Real religion is a very personal thing. It's the Lord's dealings with you in a very personal way. It's not some abstract thing. It's something that is in your very soul. When the Holy Ghost quickens the soul, gives that soul life, and then you begin to breathe after God, after righteousness, after true holiness. You begin to breathe after it. And it said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst. You have an appetite, a spiritual appetite. What the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking of there is a spiritual appetite. Do you have a spiritual appetite? A longing, a yearning, a hungering, a thirsting. These are all scriptural terms that we're using. The psalmist, he says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? That's the language of a living soul. See, here in this chapter, it speaks of the great God. It says in the verse 22, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. And the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. This is the great God, he that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. This great God, this sovereign Lord Jehovah. It says in verse 12, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out the heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance. See, and then he says, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counsellor, hath taught him? He God over all, and blessed for evermore. In him we live and move and have our being. He's our creator. He's our creator. You know, that's brought out so beautifully by the Apostle Paul when he writes the epistle to the Colossians. And in that first chapter of the epistle to the Colossians, he speaks of the wonderful glory and power of Christ. And he says in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And then he goes on here, and he speaks of the glory of Christ, who is the image. This is our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he, and this is speaking of the eternal God, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. And he goes on here and he says, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. All fullness, a fullness of grace. We read in John chapter 1 that he is full. And the idea behind that word is an inexhaustible supply. He is full of grace and truth. He is always full of grace and truth. Though he is constantly dispensing that grace to his people, yet he's always full of grace and truth. In him, you see, it hath pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And in the second chapter of the Colossians, he says there that in him dwelleth, it says in verse 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's in Christ. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And he says, you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you. You know, friends, this has always been a remarkable word to me. And what we see is the justifying grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, holy. What a profound thing, isn't it? A poor, wretched, guilty, helpless, hopeless sinner, yet presented holy. He will present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. What a grace, isn't it? What a fullness of grace. And you might say, how can this be? Washed in the blood of Christ, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, therefore made holy. They're unblameable because Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died in their room and their place and their stead. And he makes them holy and pure. We read in the prophet Ezekiel, comely through my comeliness. And that is what the true believer says, comely through my comeliness. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? Who is a God like unto thee? You see, as we have in our text, hast thou not known? Who is a God like unto thee? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. As for God, his way is perfect. His work is perfect. His redeeming love is perfect. A people has been redeemed. They were chosen by the Father, and they were given by the Father to the Son. And he has redeemed them. He's paid the redemption price. He suffered, he bled, he died for their sins. And therefore, he says he will present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. Why? Because he suffered and bled and died for your sins. And rose again for our justification. He died for our sins and rose again for our justification. My dear beloved friends, the evidence that our sins have been pardoned and put away is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because I live, ye shall live also. I give unto my sheep eternal life. He's a God. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He knows where all his people are. He knows where all his servants are. He knows whom he's sending them to. And he gives them a message for them, a message from heaven. He gives them his word to preach. And what do they preach, this great God, this infinite, this almighty, this eternal Jehovah, this sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise? All my times are in thy hand, all events at thy command. Not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. My dear beloved friends, think of the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. The very hairs of your head are numbered. Not one of them falleth without your heavenly Father's leave. Are not five sparrows sold for a farthing? Yet not one of them is taken without the knowledge and the understanding of God. He's God over all. He's blessed forevermore. My life's minutest circumstance is subject to thine eye. David, he says, all my times are in thy hand. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. Now, he giveth power to the faint. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. When I was a comparatively young man, it's when I was living in Crowborough, and the Lord laid his afflicting hand upon me at that time. And I was brought into great weakness, physical weakness, but also great spiritual weakness and darkness and bondage. And the Lord, I believe, breathed these words into my heart, especially the last verse. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. What I observed was this, friends. The Lord, he gradually, it was something that was done day by day. He didn't suddenly come and heal everything and make everything like, but day by day, as I had to go to him to ask him for strength and wisdom and help, day by day, he gave that strength. And that's the meaning of the word here, but they that wait upon the Lord. The Lord's people are a waiting people. They wait in prayer upon this great God who's able to do abundantly more than we can even ask or think. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. And sometimes, you know, in our experiences, we come into these places where we have no might. And it says even the youths, the young men, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. And that's where I came to. Utterly fall. Finished. The end of everything. But he gave his power. But they that wait. And that's how the Lord works. You have to keep coming. You have to keep waiting. You have to keep praying. You have to keep looking unto Jesus. You know, it's a good place to be, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He says there in Hebrews 12 that we, seeing then that we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Well, if you look into chapter 11 in the Hebrews, you'll find that great cloud of witnesses. And he goes through the Old Testament. And these are the great cloud of witnesses, the Lord's servants, his prophets. And he says in that 11th chapter of the Hebrews that the things that they passed through, they were sawn asunder. They were accounted as the offscouring of all things. And then he says, these all died in faith. These all died in faith. And this is that great cloud of witnesses. He names several of them. Noah, Abraham, Jacob. He names them. How that they lived by faith. David, Samson, others are named. These all died in faith. So he says, seeing then that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. You know, friends, this is the only way that you can run this race. David says in one of his Psalms, he weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. I found trouble and sorrow. And that is sometimes the case with the Lord's living family. You feel to be so weakened, so helpless. But look, David goes to the original cause. We so often look at secondary causes. He says, he, who? This great, this almighty God. He weakened my strength in the way. The Apostle Paul, he experienced this day by day as he went to preach. He says in the epistle to the Corinthians, and he said, lest I should be exalted above measure, the Lord gave me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. That was day by day. He said, I besought the Lord thrice to remove it from me. We do not read that the Lord ever did remove that thorn in the flesh from him. But what does that mean? It means day by day, sometimes hour by hour, he had to wrestle with the Lord for strength, for wisdom, for guidance, to be able to preach, and to be able to go through those terrible persecutions that he went through. But the Lord, he gave him a sweet promise. He didn't take away that thorn in the flesh, that messenger of Satan that buffeted him day by day. No. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, what a paradox, isn't it? My strength is made perfect in your weakness. So when we are brought down weak and helpless and hopeless, we don't know how to continue, we don't know how to go on, then the Lord, he gives grace. My grace is sufficient. What grace? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he gives. And he gives it continually. And so he strengthens you. He strengthens you day by day. As the prophet says, here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept, so this great God strengthens his people. You know, one of the reasons why the great God works in that way, and you see, he is the great God, he could give you strength and wisdom sufficient immediately, lift you right out of it. But what he knows what a heart you've got and what a heart I've got. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. Lest I should be exalted above measure, I had a thorn in the flesh. And the reason the Lord withholds from you and keeps you in this state of need is so that you keep coming to him in humble dependence upon him. Instead of strutting along in a proud, lofty way, high above everyone else, He humbles you. And that's what he does with his people. He weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. The Lord has done it. This cross that you have, the Lord has given you this cross. This trouble that you have, the Lord has given you this trouble. Nothing happens by chance. It doesn't. It's all divinely ordered by God. All the trouble, the trials, the perplexities, the sorrows, the afflictions, they are ordered by our kind and our gracious God. And the purpose? To keep you humble. To keep you at his feet. To keep you dependent upon him. And then you'll experience what we read here. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Give me the wings of faith to rise within the veil and see. See, the wings of faith, they shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the Lord, day by day, giving his people wisdom and strength and help to continue in the pathway. In a path of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, yet not seen. We read in the last few verses of Proverbs chapter 8, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates. That's in the house of God, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth life, whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favour of the Lord. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. One says in Holy Scripture, what I know not, teach thou me. And don't we have to pray that? There are many things that we don't understand. Many things in your life, in your circumstances that you do not understand. But the Lord knows, and he knows why he's put it there. He knew that it was needful and necessary for the great Apostle Paul to have a thorn in the flesh. Day by day. It was needful. It was necessary. Francis Coville, the pastor of West Street, Croydon. Large congregation, great prosperity. And a man went to see him once and he said, Mr. Coville, I believe. And he said, you preach that the Lord's people have their troubles and trials. And he says, but you've got a large congregation. You have great success in your ministry. And you speak under the sweet power of the Spirit. He said, but you don't appear to have any trials. And the man couldn't understand it. And this is where we need to be careful. You know, if people in the Victorian times had a disabled child, they would hide it away. It never went out. They would just keep it, and they would keep it hidden away. And Mr. Coville, he went and undone a door, and there was this poor, demented boy. And he said, that is my son. You see, it was hidden. And the trials, the troubles, the perplexities, the sorrows of the Lord's people are often hidden. We need to be very careful how we judge. Some of the Lord's people have a very secret trial and trouble. And it's with them constantly. Just like the Apostle Paul, a thorn in the flesh. But the purpose, dear child of God, is to keep you low at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. May the Lord add his blessing. Let us now sing together hymn number 7 to the tune Rush Home 216. God shall alone the refuge be and comfort of my mind. Too wise to be mistaken he, too good to be unkind. Hymn number 7.
Thank you.
Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each. Amen.